This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Demarest, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. By the time you are listening to this episode, I will be teaching this class live in DC at STX. Maybe it's afterwards, maybe it's before, but I am teaching this class on maximizing your business value, which is like a 3 or 4 hour class. So as I prepared for it this week, I thought this would make a great episode to touch on a couple of the topics we will talk about in person. Before we get into that, though, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Reminder, if you want to hear your question answered on here, just have a question for me, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Don't forget my new book, Beyond the Bays, a financial playbook for auto repair shop owners, which was inspired by many of your questions, is available now on Amazon in paperback and Kindle. Want to talk to me about accounting and tax services Parmelis offers auto repair shops like yours? Shoot me an email at info@parmelis.com. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors for being such loyal supporters of the show. If you need to get your back office under control, give Wicked File a call. If you need to recruit top talent for your top shops, give Promotive a call. If you need to get your shop in the right direction, give Maverick Shop Owners a call. And if you need to get your marketing into overdrive, give Overdrive Marketing a call today. If you're looking for a full-service staffing solution that does everything from sourcing, qualifying, creating job descriptions, scheduling interviews, to negotiating job offers, Promotive is your answer. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. Building a profitable shop is one thing. Building profit and freedom into the same business? That's what the Maverick Shop Owners video training is all about. Our listeners can get free access at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. Building a profitable shop is one thing. Building profit and freedom into the same business? That's what the Maverick Shop Owners video training is all about. Our listeners can get free access at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. Like I mentioned, this piece is from a class that I'm teaching in DC at the STX WorldPAC conference. So special thanks for WorldPAC for having us down there. This will be our third show, right? They do it every 2 years. This will be our third time going down there and teaching. So super excited. Yeah, can't thank them enough. If you have not checked out any of WorldPAC's conferences, I encourage you to do so. Like I said, they only have them every 2 years. A lot of people ask this, is this European focused because it's WorldPAC? Well, obviously, yes. Do I have repair shops from all over the country, even some that don't buy from WorldPAC, go to these shows? Yes, I do. It's not cheap. It's really, really good. Ton of good trainers. And no, I'm not just talking about myself. Also, like really good events. They always have really good speakers. And then on the weekends, they always have some special surprise. I don't know what it is, but we're in Orlando. They rented out the entire Universal Studios. So check it out if you're in the area. If you are listening to this and you're like, Hunt, I'm at STX right now. Come find me. I'm around here somewhere. I'm tall. You know what I look like. Come say hi. Would be happy to chat. Before we get into what I wanted to talk about on this, I wanted to talk about why we did this class. This is actually going to be the first time teaching this class. I've taught a lot about succession, and yes, this is a succession planning class, but what we're really getting into is some of the finer details of why do some of these shops that all look very similar, and a lot of these shops that make virtually the same amount of profit, all selling for drastically different dollar amounts. And I had a client 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago at this point, sold for like a 9-time multiple, meaning he got 9 times what his business makes on a year. The going rate is around a 3-time multiple. So this entire class was written by, there must be outside factors. There must be more to this than just how do I make more money? And if I make more money, people are going to pay more. What we're going to go down through in the class, we're not going to do today, is talking about how buyers really value repair shops. Talking about the financial side of it, talking about operational structure of this, talking about risk factors. What do buyers see that immediately gives them panic and run for the hills? Talking about what you can do before you sell. You've identified some areas of weak point, or maybe you haven't. What can you do right now in the meantime to build value for your shop before you sell? And then lastly on this, kind of going down through a couple real life situations. If you're selling to a key employee, it's going to look a lot different than you're selling to your family member. And both of those are going to look much different than you selling to a private equity. Taking people from start to finish, what this is worth to how you're actually going to get rid of this thing, is exactly what this class is. If you say to yourself, Hunt, I want to see this class. I'm not going to be able to make it to STX. I cannot guarantee you that I can get you this actual recording of this class. Not that they won't let us release publicly. It doesn't always get recorded. But this is going to be one of the ones we're going to be recording later. Maybe even we'll do a webinar for you guys on it. Yeah. What I wanted to kind of go down through this week, though, is a couple things in no particular order that I think people often don't think about when they're selling their business. You might be thinking to yourself, well, Hunt, I am 30 years old. I have no intention of selling my business anytime soon on there. Perfect. This is directed at you. Most of this information, the reason why I'm talking to you about it is because you guys get this information way too late. And that kind of starts with our first point. So timing. Shout out to Erin. She did an awesome job on it. PowerPoint. But going down through the PowerPoint, one of the big slides on here says, how long before you plan to sell should you start this process? We said 3 to 5 years. And I know that there's going to be a lot of people that come back and say, Hunt, 3 to 5 years, I don't need that much foresight on selling my business. But remember, we are not talking about selling your business. All of you guys will be able to sell your business. Guaranteed, if you think that I'm lying to you, call me up. I guarantee that someone will buy your shops. It is a very, very good time to sell a shop. However, what we are talking about is how you maximize the value for your shop. If you decide that you are going to sell your business tomorrow, will you be able to sell it? Yes. Do you think that you will get more money by selling it tomorrow or taking 3 to 5 years to make sure that you're set up, positioned, maybe even hiring, maybe even moving your location to maximize your value? Absolutely. One of the things that you also need to be looking 3 to 5 years out is how realistic this pie in the sky number that you have really is. So the difference between working for someone else and working for yourself is if you work for someone else, you know what your retirement is. You have a 401k account, you know what it is, you can kind of do the math on it. Hey, I have $1 million when I retire, I can draw off X, Y, and Z. When you're self-employed, I hope that you have a 401k. I harp about it enough. Realistically, for a lot of shop owners, your business is your retirement. And a lot of you have already made big plans for your retirement based on a hypothetical number. I'm going to get $1 million for my business. Everything else sorts itself off. Be able to pay off all my debts. Everyone's going to be happy on this. Life is going to be good. What happens if you figure out 3 to 5 years in that your business is not set up to command that sort of money? You're looking at maybe a business that's going to sell for half of that. Do you think that if you have 3 to 5 years, you have enough time to go in there and fix and maybe figure out why your value is getting pulled down and have time to change it? Absolutely. Do you think that if you figure this out 3 months before you got to get out of there, you have any time to really change of what that value is? No. And so this is really kind of harping on the whole idea of this class. Yes, if you want to sell your business tomorrow, start now. If you want to maximize the value of this, there is no time that is too early. If you're 10 years out of this, would I do an official valuation? Absolutely not. Would I get a baseline and understanding of how shops are valuated so I could have a really good understanding of what my shop is worth? Absolutely. Also depends on how good or bad your financial situation is. If you have good books, you have clean history on this, you have solid tax returns, you're current on everything, and you have good profit, you are probably going to do just fine. But again, you're still going to make more money if you plan ahead on this. Too many times, I've had people that have tried to do this 3 to 6 months out and have had a major reckoning of either I'm extending my path. I thought I was going to retire at 67. I'm now staring down the barrel of I'm going to retire at 70, or do I need to change my expectation of what my retirement looks like? You do that before you have enough time to make changes on it. Hopefully, you avoid a lot of that stuff. That is a big one. And I really, really want to harp on this because I know that there's going to be a lot of people listening to this and thinking this episode is not directed at them. If you own a shop, this is directed at you because at some point you want to sell your business. Maybe you want to die in there. Maybe you don't ever want to sell it, then fine. You can skip to next week's episode. But for the rest of you guys, this is all going to happen at some point. The longer time that you have, the easier those changes are going to be and the more subtle they can be. If you need to right the ship in 12 months, it can be done, but it's probably going to be a little bit more of a chaos situation. next one on hand, again, this is in no particular order, even though kind of all of this does lead on the timing side of this. Like, none of this happens if you don't time this right and look at this until it's too late. This is one, though, that doesn't come up that much. I'm going to talk about it in the class, and I want to talk about it on here. And it's customer concentration. If you have a bunch of individual customers out there, no one brings in more than one or two cars from a household or a family, you probably have no idea what I'm talking about. You're like, concentration, like you mean neighborhoods, Hunt? Like, where do most of my customers come from? For some of my heavy duty guys, for some of my fleet guys, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm going to give you an example of a client, and I'm going to give you an example of why it didn't. He ended up selling this business and it ended up working out fine. But for this buyer, it caused a major issue. So he has a general repair shop. He does have a couple pretty big fleet accounts, and he specifically has one massive fleet account with a municipality. I think he has like the ambulances or something like that. It doesn't matter. It's a really good contract. It is very lucrative, but this customer makes up about 20% of his business. The reason that this was kind of a wake-up call is because when my client went to sell this shop, this is what he thought was like his crown jewel. Like, this contract, and it goes on for a good bit of time on there, this contract is everything. Because for him, it does like bring in almost one-fifth of his income. However, the buyer that he proposed this to almost immediately walked away when he looked at this. And the reason behind it is very important for you guys to understand. While that contract for him was extremely valuable to put his business into a very precarious situation, about 20% of his revenue came from this ambulance company. My client was running it on around a 20% net income. Right now, 20% of his sales are going to net profit with the ambulance contract. What happens if he loses the ambulance contract? Immediately has a 20% hit in his sales and his net income goes to zero. This is something that, again, a lot of you guys might be confused about. Man, that is a valuable contract. I would love to get this. Yeah, and if you have them, they're very good. But the bad part about having customer concentration that high is they don't come around very much. So if you get one, you're going to be really happy. If you lose one, it's virtually impossible to replace that revenue quickly. A lot of you guys do not have this. A lot of you guys might not even know what I'm talking about. The rest of you guys with the fleet accounts, if you got fleet accounts, if they make up a large percentage of your business, I'm not going to go and say reduce the amount of work that you do with them on it. But think about this. The higher the customer concentration, the more scrutiny it's going to be. And if you have a customer that is a serious portion of your overall sales, they better be an A-plus customer. This was kind of the thing. If this was a 20% of his business and there was more assurances on there, it might have been fine for this buyer. Like I said, that shop still ended up selling. It was fine. But it was something that if he would have probably looked at this before, maybe even would have got some wording in that contract change that would have made a buyer feel a little bit more at ease of taking that over.
Are you tired of spending endless hours searching for the perfect talent to join your team? Promotive is your full-service automotive staffing solution. At Promotive, we believe in being more than just a recruiting agency. We become an extension of your team, working tirelessly to ensure we place the right talent with the right shops. With our always be recruiting mindset, we're constantly seeking out the best professionals in the industry. We manage 90 to 95% of the recruiting process, taking the burden off your shoulders. When you partner with Promotive, you gain a dedicated recruiter and account manager who will work closely with you, understanding your unique requirements and seeking out candidates who fit seamlessly into your shop's culture. We'll ensure that every candidate we present is thoroughly vetted and aligned with your needs. With Promotive, you'll have a peace of mind knowing that we're handling the recruitment process with expertise and precision. We don't just match resumes, we match character, culture, and long-term success. Visit our website at gopromotive.com today and experience the power of Promotive's expertise and dedication. Together, we'll build a stronger and more successful team.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. You're working on growing a more profitable shop. That's critical. But the profit doesn't automatically give you the freedom or reduce your stress. That's exactly what the 24-video blueprint course by Maverick Shop Owners addresses. Customers, sales, profit, people, systems, and freedom. How to build profit and freedom into the same business. Get free access for our listeners only at maverickshopowners.com/blueprint. Most shops don't have a marketing problem. They have a systems problem. Overdrive.os was built to solve that. It's not another vendor. It's your AI-powered marketing operating system built specifically for auto repair shop. It predicts slow weeks before they happen, automatically launches revenue-driving campaigns, tracks ROI down to the dollar, and optimizes performance in real time. No guesswork, no wasted ad spend, no hope marketing, just predictable car count, stronger retention, and measurable profitability. Schedule a strategy call today and let's build your growth engine. Visit overdrivemarketing.com. That's OVERDRYVE marketing.com. Next one on here, I'm just going to put out as a blanket thing of continuity. The overall idea of this class is that buyers pay for continuity, right? Or consistent profits, profit that they think will be able to continue in perpetuity, not necessarily profit itself. What does that mean? The overall sense here is they want to buy a business, not a high-paying job. If this business cannot run without you, then they are not buying a business, they're buying your job. Will they still pay you a lot of money for your job? Yes. Will they pay you some of those numbers you've heard your friends talk about for a job? Absolutely not. People want an investable business. The majority of our transactions right now that are getting top dollar are from private equity and consolidators, and they want a business that already runs without it. They don't want to see of, hey, if you hired this person, they could come in here and replace me. They want to see what your team does without you in there. They want to see what your customers do without you in there. If you're thinking to yourself, well, hon, I'm still on the counter, that is issue number one. Because if you leave, who are the customers used to seeing? They're going to immediately know something's different. Even if you're in your back of the shop, are the guys going to come and are they going to show up and are they going to turn hours for someone else if you're there leading? What's the best thing that you can show to a buyer? I haven't been there in 6 weeks. I haven't talked to them. I haven't checked in on it. And look at what the numbers look like. Prove to them that what they're going to try to do already works in your business, and people are going to pay you a ton of money. I want to have one kind of point on that one that I think will make a lot of sense for people. This is very, very similar to how you look at investing. How much would someone have to pay you if you actively have to use your time? How much would someone have to pay you if you just had to use your money? If you want to run a repair shop, most people are looking for a 30% return on their money. If you want to put money into a savings account, most people are looking for, you know, low single digits on this. That all has to do with inputs. Your value is going to be based on how much inputs this new buyer has to put in to get the outputs out of there. If you have a business that is cash flow positive that runs without you, other than the initial outlay of the down payment of them buying your business will pay for the note or whatever they have borrowed on it. A business that has continuity, has consistent profit that will run without you, much, much more valuable than a business that has the exact same profit that does not run without the owner. The owner has an integral part in the day-to-day operations. Two more issues I want to talk about on this. One of them hits very near and dear to my heart. And the other one on here is something people don't often think about. I'm an accountant. I do this all day, every day. You guys are probably surprised that I have not put this on there earlier, but you guys need to have clean financials. And I'm not even talking about what the bottom line numbers show. I am talking about strictly optics here for this first part. If I see a profit and loss that shows $100,000 and everything is in alphabetical order, there's no grammatical errors, there's no negative amounts, there's no temporary accounts, there's no transfer accounts, what am I going to think of that one compared to the same financials that shows the same net income that I can see misspellings, I can see clear misclassifications on there? You are not giving audited financials. The buyers are not going to audit your financials. Trust is everything in this. If people see something, and I've been on both sides of these deals, I've been on the buyer side of it where we've looked at financials, we've looked at tax returns. Profit on this one is twice of what you showed to the government. Of course, they're going to try to sell you on a higher dollar amount of these internal financials. But why did you show me a financial that shows $300,000 and you gave one to the government that shows a loss? If I think that you're going to lie to the government, what does make me think that you're going to give me any source of honesty? This is a huge handshake agreement on this, that a lot of this just has to be done with trust. Another thing about this, as far as clean financials, is just that. If there is something going on in the financials, it should have to do with what this person is buying. A lot of you guys have unrelated businesses that all run through your shop. Any sort of this commingling on there, it might not even affect the underlying profitability, but again, it gives pause. It gives questions to people saying, is this what I think it is? Last thing on here is you guys. I get it. There's gray areas. There's stuff that you can write off that's going to give us a tax deduction. But if we're giving that to a prospective buyer, we do not probably want to show that same expense. If you're asking me and you're saying, Hunt, can I have any of these discretionary expenses running down if I plan to sell my business? The answer is yes. And 99.99% of my clients that sell their business have some sort of add back. Fringe expenses are expenses that go away when my clients go away. On the flip side of that is, will you get more money if you have completely clean books without any of these sort of add backs on this? Yes. The tricky part about this is, will you save more in taxes in the meantime than you get for it? Pigs get fat, hogs get slaughtered. When someone comes and they say, show me the $20,000 expense that's going to go away. If it's one vendor and I say, I peg it for X, Y, and Z out of here, clearly that's not a business expense. A buyer's probably going to be okay with it. If my profit on my financial shows 100 grand and after add backs, it's really at 130 or 140, again, no one's going to bat an eye on here. If you're trying to take a set of financials to show a $50,000 loss and trying to argue that after all these add backs, it's really a $300,000 profit, I've seen it done. I've seen buyers be able to get over this. Banks generally cannot. Buyers know what's going on. Buyers know that we're playing games and stuff like this. Banks have very strict rules. How are we going to give $1 million to someone of a business that's never showed a profit on a tax return? Be careful on this, guys. And at the end of the day, it's probably not saving you as much tax money. And if it's causing a mess on this, it's going to cost you even more when you go to sell it. So last one on here, before I tease you guys to hang this up and drive to STX to hear the rest of this, is equipment. There's really two sides of this. Is when you are selling your shop, you're really selling two different things. You're selling the equipment and everything else, which we call the goodwill. Do buyers care about new equipment? No. If you go out and you plan to sell your business in the next year, will you get back dollar for dollar, even close to dollar for dollar, any single piece of equipment that you put in there? Absolutely not, unless it's an alignment rack. Alignment racks, just because they are so expensive on it, I've seen that stuff. Some of the body shops that we have, if your paint booths are extremely expensive, we've seen that come back. You get a new compressor, you get new racks, you get new tire machines, you get new airlines on this, you get new hoses. None of those are going to make a difference. On the flip side of this, will you get less money if you have old equipment? The answer is also yes. This is a double-edged sword. And I think what I'm telling you is, what you're probably reading here is, you need to be somewhere in the middle. You are never going to get value back for having new equipment, but if someone comes into your shop and sees new equipment, what kind of perception do they give you on how you run it, what kind of reputation you have? The way that I look at it is like selling a used car. Should you put all new shocks, all new brakes, all new whatever on a new car or a used car when you're trying to sell it? No, you will never make any money on it. Talk to any used car dealer. Should you go clean it up? Should you make sure that there is absolutely nothing on the floorboards when you take pictures of it? Should you make sure that all of your stuff is cleaned out and you got good lighting on it? Yes. Sweat equity, elbow grease goes a lot longer way of cleaning this stuff up than spending some money with Hunter or whoever else. Is this the guaranteed way to sell your business for big bucks? In a way, yes. If you follow what I said here and you do it in the timeline that I said, I will guarantee you that you will get more money than not doing any of this stuff. But the good news is, none of this is rocket science. A lot of you guys know this stuff already. Probably just need to be reminded, or maybe do it at the right time. As always, please share with friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Looking for an easier way to catch this show and the rest from the Automotive Repair Podcast Network? Just go to arpn.app. That's arpn.app and download the free Automotive Repair Podcast Network app. Build playlists, share episodes, read show notes, and watch videos when available. So thanks again for joining on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.